الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين اللهم لك الحمد وإليك المشتكى وبك الثقة وعليك التكلان ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأن تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته ودعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. Inshallah ta'ala, this is a continuation of our regular weekly tafsir lesson where we were going through the tafsir of Surah Al-Baqarah. And we were in the midst of the beginnings of the story of Banu Israel and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was speaking about the Banu Israel of old. And we mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and because this surah, Surah Al-Baqarah, is a Madani surah, Madani meaning it was revealed in Medina, and the Prophet ﷺ came into contact with the Yahud of Medina, the Jewish people that lived in Medina, and they had the Torah with them, although the Torah had been altered and it wasn't exactly the same Torah that was given to Musa ﷺ. In it were still verses and signs pointing to the final messenger, which was Muhammad ﷺ. And when the Prophet ﷺ comes into contact with them, Allah reveals these ayat, speaking directly to them. And Allah is telling them, remember the ni'am and the blessings I have given your forefathers. And remember the truth that was given to Musa and how many of your forefathers went astray. When Musa came to them with the truth, do not fall into the same mistakes that your forefathers fell into. Do not deny the blessings that your forefathers were given. Be grateful to Allah Almighty. Allah tells them, and we mentioned this last week when Allah was telling them, لا تلبسوا الحق بالباطل وتكتموا الحق وأنتم تعلمون. Do not mix truth with falsehood. Do not hide the truth. And the main truth they were hiding is the fact that they knew about Prophet Muhammad and they knew that he was the final messenger. And Allah was reminding them that fear Allah and believe in the messenger. And that if they do so, Allah also reminded them of the covenant and the promise they made to Allah Almighty. And Allah said, "In Ya Bani Israel, O the people of Banu Israel, to the children of Israel," and we mentioned who Israel was, that they are the descendants of Prophet Ya'qub, and that Israel was Prophet Ya'qub himself. "Udhkuru ni'mati allati an'amtu alaykum," remember the blessings and the favors that I have given you. "Wa'awfu bi'ahdi, ufi bi'ahdikum," and fulfill my promise, your promise to me, and I fulfill my promise to you, Allah says to them. So their promise, and the scholars have many different interpretations to what was this particular promise that is being referred to it. We mentioned last week that it could be a general promise of worshiping Allah Almighty and living your life the way Allah wants you. It could be a specific promise that they were told, or the people of Banu Israel were told, that they would have to believe in the final messenger and preserve the fact that this messenger was mentioned in their books. And we mentioned many qasas that allude to that as well last week. So, verse 33, it is still speaking mainly to the Banu Israel that lived in Medina. So the Prophet is conversing with them and these ayats are directed at them. But we know, and this is a very important principle, although many of what is being said is directed to the Banu Israel, it is also a message to all of us as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةِ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them, and establish the prayer, and give the zakat, and pray or make ruku' with those who pray. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now commanding the Banu Israel and telling them, first of all, believe in Prophet Muhammad. Second of all, do not hide the truth that you have. Third of all, establish the prayer, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. And you'll come across this phrase often, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, which means to establish the prayer. Now, Allah didn't say to them, صَلُّوا, pray, but he said, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. And the scholars, they say, إِقَامَةُ الصَّلَاةِ, to establish the prayer, it involves a lot more than just praying. It means you pray exactly like the Prophet prayed. You do everything you're supposed to do in your salah. You pray in the best manner you possibly can. This is what it means to establish the prayer with its sujood and its ruku' and its tranquility and the adhkar that you're reading and your heart is present and you're not distracted. All of this involves in iqamatu salah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to them that they should establish the prayer and perform the salah. Another thing that is important to note is that the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians that came before us, they also used to pray. And the prayer was not something that is specific to the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is very apparent in the Quran. You will find even Prophet Isa, for example, when he spoke as a child, Allah says in the Quran that he said, إني عبد الله آتاني الكتاب وجعلني نبيا وجعلني مباركا أينما كنت وأوصاني بالصلاة والزكاة. Among the statements Prophet Isa, who's of course before Prophet Muhammad, made was that Allah has enjoined him to pray بالصلاة والزكاة. And similarly, the other prophets as well. So the concept of prayer and the concept of zakat was known to the Jews and the Christians and the Banu Israel. But here they're being told to establish the prayer like the prophet is. Meaning what? Accept Islam, believe in the Prophet, and establish the prayer. وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ and give the zakat. Give the zakat and be among the Muslims. Which is why the final portion of this verse, when Allah says, وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ and bow down with those who pray. Many scholars have said that the ruku' here is not referring to the conventional ruku' of the salat, but is referring to humble yourself. Humble yourself in front of your Lord, right? Bow down, meaning submit yourself. Join the Muslims, because becoming a Muslim is someone that submits to Allah's will and follows the messenger. So other scholars have said, no, it means وَرْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. Ruku' is specified here because that was the one part of the salat that wasn't present in their prayer. So the Yahud used to pray, but their prayer did not involve a ruku'. They didn't have the bowing down of the ruku' that we do. So it is almost saying, it is not enough that you pray the way you pray. It is not enough that you pay zakat the way you do it. You have to actually join the Muslims and follow the law of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which has abrogated any law that came before it. You can't pray the way you were praying before. You must pray the way the Prophet is praying. You must join the Muslims, and that will include you doing ruku', which you weren't doing before. That's why it's specific. وَرْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. Some of the ulama, they have made an istinbat of this ayah. Istinbat is when they look into a verse and extract from it a ruling. They extracted from this verse a ruling, which is that the communal prayer or the congregational prayer, if you will, is actually a farad or wajib upon the men. And they, among the evidences is this verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although having mentioned the prayer in the beginning of the verse, when Allah says, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَىٰ establish the prayer, وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ and give the zakat, وَرْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ and pray with those who pray, meaning what? Meaning, pray the jama'ah, pray with the believers in the mosque, come to the masjid and pray in the congregation, which is an opinion many scholars hold, which is a very strong opinion, that men should come to the masjid to pray. And Ibn Kathir mentions this when he's talking about this verse, that this is among the adilla, among the evidences that suggest that the prayer of the jama'ah isn't just a supplementary act of worship, something that is just sunnah, it is actually wajib. But of course, this is a matter of disagreement among the scholars. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to the Yahud of Banu Israel, but also to the rest of us? وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةِ establish the prayer. وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةِ give the zakat. Another benefit from here is, ikhwani fillah, that وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةِ is related to your own personal worship to Allah. وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةِ is your personal is worship to Allah, but also help the people. So worship Allah, but also help the people and give zakat. وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ and make ruku' with those who pray and bow down and pray like the Muslims pray. طيب. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the following verse says, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ. Are you commanding or enjoying al-birr? Are you commanding piety and righteousness to the people? أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ. This is a question of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are you commanding righteousness and piety to the people? أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ. وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ and you forget yourself to practice. So you're telling others to do good, to be righteous, to be pious. وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ and you are forgetting yourselves. Allah then says to them, وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ أي والحال أنتم تتلون الكتاب. While you are reading the book, and that is referring to the Torah, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ Do you not have intellect? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, do you not have a sense? Do you not have any intellect? This ayah, ikhwani fillah, initially, again, we're going to always focus on the context, but then expand upon it. So, again, who was being spoken to? The Banu Israel. Now, among the things they did was that when they were pushed and really asked, they would admit that indeed Prophet Muhammad is a messenger. And they would say, he's a messenger to the Arabs, but not to us. Sometimes they would deny, but when they are pushed and really asked and interrogated, they would admit it and say, yes, he is actually a messenger. And in fact, sometimes they would tell people, yeah, you should follow him, you should believe in him, but I personally won't. So, and also, among the things that their ahbar and their priests and their rabbis, their leaders would do is, they would command others to do good, but they themselves wouldn't do it. The main thing being the following of Muhammad. So sometimes they'll admit, yes, he is indeed a messenger. We can't deny it. It's in our books. But you guys follow him, but we will not, right? And a lot of it was due to pride, like you mentioned last week, due to the fact that they felt like if they follow the Muslims and join the Prophet ﷺ, that they will lose some of the ranks they had and some of the prestige that they enjoyed. So they would sometimes tell the rest of the people, yeah, join Muhammad, but we won't. Sometimes they would admit it, but then they wouldn't do it themselves. And also, generally, they would command good, but themselves, they wouldn't do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, referencing this, says to them, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ Are you commanding the people righteousness? وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ And forgetting yourself? وَتَتْرُكُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ So you're not doing it yourself. And on top of that, وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ And you are reciting the book, and the book here is the Torah. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ Do you have no sense? Do you have no aql? Do you have no intellect? How come you're telling others to do good, but you're not doing it yourself? How come you're telling others to follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but you're not doing it yourself? أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ Do you not have any sense, any aql? إخواني في الله, now that you understood the main khitab was to the Yahud, let's look into this verse more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is discussing the concept of one telling others to do good, but then neglecting his own self. And this is why there is an interesting narration from Ibn Abbas, where one person said, I want to tell the people good. I want to enjoin good and forbid evil. And then he said to them, upon you is three verses. And the first verse was, he said, that Ibn Abbas recited upon him was, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ O you who believe, why are you saying things that you yourself are not doing? So again, don't command things that you yourself are not doing. Another verse was this verse, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ Are you commanding others righteousness and forgetting your own selves? While you're reading the book, do you not have any sense and any aql? And then he also recited upon him the verse of Prophet Shu'aib, صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he said, وَمَا أُرِيدَ أَنْ أُخَالِفَكُمْ إِلَىٰ مَا أَنْهَاكُمْ عَنْ إِنْ أُرِيدِ إِلَىٰ إِصْلَاحَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُ And I do not want to command you something and not do it myself. Right? So you have these verses, and it's very important as Muslims we ponder upon these verses. Here you have Prophet Shu'aib saying to his people, although I'm commanding you all of this, I myself am not exempt, I'm doing it too. We are all doing it. It's not like I'm telling you to do something and not doing it myself. Allah is saying here, why are you commanding others to do good, but you're forgetting yourself? And in Surah As-Saff, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ طيب. But هناك مسائل, there are issues that we must discuss now. Does this mean that you are then not allowed to call towards good if you're not doing it yourself? And the answer is no. And it's very important that we appreciate this. And all of the Mufassirin, they talk about this, except for a few that make it a condition, وَهَذَا قَوْلٌ ضَعِيفٌ That they make it a condition and they say, unless you're doing the good yourself, you cannot call others towards it. That is not the case here. So the scholars, this is how they break it down. Upon you are two obligations. The obligation of doing good and the obligation of calling towards good. You need to do both. You need to do good and you need to call towards good. You need to stay away from evil and you need to call the people away from evil as well and tell them to stop it and remind them as well. These are two things that are not necessarily connected. And this is why الناس أصناف. The people are in categories. The best category, the one we should all aspire to, is الذي يفعل الخير ويدعو إليه. The one who does good and calls others towards good as well. He prays, he tells others to pray. This is how it should be. He doesn't drink or commit haram, he tells others to not drink and commit haram. This person is doing good and calling towards good. And that person, he is not doing what Allah is reprimanding us not to, or to do in this ayah, when Allah is saying, don't call towards good and forget yourself. This person didn't forget himself. They are praying salah, they are giving sadaqah, they are good to their parents, and they tell others to do it as well. That is the best way. Then you have someone else, ikhwani wa akhwati fillah. This person is someone, لا يفعل الخير ولا يدعو إليه. لا يفعل الخير ولا يدعو إليه. أو لا يأمر به. This person, he is not doing good. This person isn't praying. This person isn't giving sadaqah. This person isn't doing khair. And he doesn't call towards his neither. So, he is doing none. And that person is the worst. Then you have the one who himself is not doing good. He's not doing good, but he is calling others towards good. Example, someone that himself doesn't give a lot of charity or no charity at all, but tells others, Khwan fillah, give sadaqah, reminding others. Maybe he has a problem of being greedy and has a bukhul and has an issue, loves his money too much, but then he reminds others to do it. You might argue it's hypocritical, but the fact of the matter is, the fact he is reminding others is good. فَجَمَعَ شَرًّا وَخَيْرًا. He is doing something good. So the fact he's telling others to do good in itself is khair. Or a better example, someone is doing evil. He's مُبْتَلَى بِشُرْبِ الْخَمْرِ مَثَلًا. This person, he drinks. Then he tells others, don't drink. Trust me, my friend, drinking is addictive. I have been struggling with alcoholism for 40 years. I advise you don't start it now. Drop it. That is sincere advice. And inshallah, that person will be rewarded for that advice, that genuine advice that he's giving. He's doing good. So, it is not that you don't call, but the point is, so this verse isn't, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't saying, why are you telling others to do righteousness? The blame is, why are you not doing it yourself? Not why are you calling others? Calling is good, but also don't forget yourself. So, a lot of people misuse this verse. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ. Are you calling the people towards righteousness? وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسِكُمْ. I'm forgetting yourself. The problem is the fact that you're not doing it yourself. Not that you're calling others towards it. And it's not as if Allah is telling us, don't call others. لِذَلِكَ سَعِيد بن جُبَيْرٍ, this great tabi'i, he said, if we made a condition that if anyone is going to call towards good, they themselves must do no harm and no mistake and have no shortcomings, then no one would be able to call towards khair. And Imam Malik said, صَدَقَةً, that is truthful. That is exactly what happened. Meaning what? You don't have to be perfect to call others towards good. And you don't have to do yourself the good that you're calling towards. Of course, that is how it should be. But if you're not, at least do some khair. طيب, I hope that is clarified now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ. Are you calling the people towards al-birr? Birr is كُلُّ خَيْر, جَامِعُ الْخَيْرِ. It's all that is good. وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. And you're forgetting yourselves. يَتَتْرُقُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ. While you are reading the book, O Yahud, while you are reading the Torah that is telling you to believe in Prophet Muhammad, are you still not doing that? أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Have you no sense? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. And seek help and aid in sabr and in salah. Seek aid in the prayer and impatience. Impatience in the prayer. بِصَبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Sabr is patience. Salah is of course the prayer. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. And indeed the prayer is كَبِيرَةٌ, heavy, difficult, شَاقَةٌ وَثَقِيلَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ, except those who have khushu'. Meaning those who are obedient to Allah, submissive to Allah Almighty, and have khushu'. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is talking, ikhwani ukhwati fillah, about the importance of patience and prayer and how that will give you aid in your worship, in your prayer, in all of the stuff that we mentioned earlier. Let's bring it to the context again. This ayats were being revealed in the khitab to the Yahud first and foremost, but also again, al-ibra to bi'imum il-lafd, la bi-khususi sabab. The ibra and the we have to look at this verse and we have to all benefit from it. But we also have to understand the context. So, the Yahud are struggling to follow the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they have their own false reasons. Well, sometimes they claim he's not a real prophet. Other times they claim that he is a prophet, but for the Arabs. Other times they try to hide the truth. Other times they're telling the people to follow, but they themselves stay in their own position out of fear that they will lose their position and their prestige and their luxuries and whatever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them, are you commanding the people to follow the Rasul and to do righteousness and you're forgetting yourselves? Are you struggling with the fact that you have to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If you are struggling with worship, if you are struggling with to submit, istaeenu bis sabri wa salah. Seek aid in patience, have patience. Right? Pray. Early they were told, warka'u ma'a raki'een. And the salah is something that helps you become a better person. لذلك يقول الله عز وجل إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. Indeed, the prayer, it prohibits you from the fahsha, from evil and munkar, from obscenities and haram and evil. So the more you pray, the better person you become. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, but generally speaking, you need to seek aid in patience. Have sabr. Have sabr. And ikhwani fillah, sabr and patience, the scholars, they categorize it into three categories. As-sabru ala at-ta'at, right? To have patience with regards to acts of obedience. It is not easy to wake up for fajr or to pray. It is not easy to give your wealth in sadaqah and zakat. It is not easy to do a lot of the ibadat. Have patience, for you will be rewarded. Sabr ala at-ta'ah. The other is as-sabru anil ma'asi, so to stay away. Have patience with regards to staying away from sin. Maybe you want to commit this haram. Maybe you want to go out with this girl. Maybe you want to commit zina. Maybe you want to deal in interest. Maybe that's what appeals to you and the shaitan is pushing you towards it. Have patience, stop yourself. You need sabr there as well. You need sabr to worship. You need sabr to stay away from haram. And finally, the most common sabr that you and I all know, as-sabru ala al-makarihi wal-masa'ib, to have patience with regards to difficulties and calamities. You have been diagnosed with an illness. A loved one died. You are struggling financially. These aqdar, as-sabru ala al-aqdar al-mu'lima, to have patience with regards to the qadr of Allah, that is difficult. You need to have patience in all three. Very important. Have patience with regards to worship. Have patience with regards to staying away from sin. Have patience with regards to the qadr that happens to you that is difficult. This is what sabr means, ikhwani fillah. Was-salah, seek aid within your prayer. Your prayer should make your life easier for you. Your prayer, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in authentic hadith, whenever something would bother him, whenever something would worry him, كان يفزعوا إلى الصلاة, he would pray. And there is a beautiful athar of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, I believe it was Ibn Abbas, that he was told that a relative died and he was on his dabba, he was on his camel or his horse. And then he was told a loved one died, the khabar, the news came to him that someone died. And then he got off his horse and then he went and he prayed and he prayed for long. And then he read this verse, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Seek aid in patience and in prayer. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ. And indeed it is heavy and difficult except to those who have khushu'. The word lakabiratun, the scholars said, it means shaqatun wa thaqilatun. It is difficult and heavy except for those who have khushu'. The word khushu' is something you must have heard of before, usually heard in the context of the prayer. Al-khushu'u fi salah. Lidhalika, the scholars, they say, what is heavy? Is it the patience that is heavy that's being referred to? It is the general seeking aid in patience and salah, or is it referring to the salah? The asal in the lugha is that it goes back to aqrab madhkur, the last one that was mentioned. Wasta'inu, seek aid. Bisabri, in patience. Wasalati, and in the prayer. And indeed it is heavy. What is heavy? The prayer. Illa al khashi'in, except those who have khushu'. And also, لماذا؟ لأن الخشوع لا يقع إلا في الصلاة. The خشوع doesn't happen except in the prayer. That's what the بعض العلماء have said. So, خشوع إخواني في الله, it happens in the heart. الخشوع كما قال العلماء محله القلب. So, to find tranquility, humility, humbleness, focus in your salah, it starts with your heart. That you are remembering akhirah, that you're standing in front of Allah, and you find enjoyment in your prayer. You're connecting with your Lord. You forget about this world. Not that when you're in your salah, you're thinking about all of the dunya-related issues that you have to think about. You are focused on Allah Almighty. And then يظهر هذا الخشوع على الجوارح أو يؤثر على الجوارح. Then this خشوع is then evident or it manifests upon your limbs. So you are still. You're not moving about. You're not scratching and watch, looking at your watch or fidgeting. You are so focused in your prayer. So it is not closing your eyes. It is not necessarily about any of that. It is خشوع is attained through being humble and remembering you're standing in front of your Lord, remembering that you're going to meet Allah Almighty, remembering the hereafter. And that's exactly what the following verse is about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Seek aid in patience and in prayer. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ. And indeed the prayer is heavy and difficult. إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. Except those who have khushu'. And then Allah describes the people that have khushu' by saying, they are those who, الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ. Those who are certain, أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ. That they are going to meet their Lord. وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And they are going to go back to Allah Almighty. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, the khashi'een, they are those who are certain that they are going to meet their Lord. What's interesting is the word yadhunnuna. Yadhunnuna, dhan, the Arabs use this word for two contradictory meanings. Dhan meaning being in doubt or not being sure, and dhan being absolutely certain. It is used in both. And the Arab language have certain words that are used in that manner. So dhan is among them. And many of the dhan in the Quran, it means yaqeen. A lot of times when you come the word dhan in the Quran, it means yaqeen. Inni dhanantu anni mulaqin hisabiyah. Ay inni ayqantu anni mulaqin hisabiyah. That word on the Day of Judgment, people say, I believed with certainty that they were going to meet the judgment. So dhan, a lot of times, it means yaqeen. I am certain of it. Especially in the usage of the Quran, but not always, of course. So, لذلك, even in the story of Musa عليه السلام, when he said, وَإِنِّي لَأَظُنُّكَ يَا فِرْعَوْنُ مَثْبُورًا. And I know for certain, O Fir'aun, that you're going to be destroyed. So dhan here isn't, I am not too sure. طيب. الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ. They are those who are certain, أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ, that they're going to meet their Lord. وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And that they will return back to him, or they're going to return to Allah Almighty. These are the people that have khushu'. So from here you're understanding, if you want to attain khushu' in your salah, be mindful of this concept that of akhirah. طيب. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says again, يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. O the children of Israel. O the children of Israel. اُذْكُرُوا نِعْمَتِيَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ. Remember the favors that I have given you, the blessings that I have given you. وَأَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. And that I have favored you upon over all of the worlds. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, O the children of Israel, remember my favor which I have bestowed upon you. وَأَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. And that I gave you virtue or preferred you over the rest of the world. This is a very interesting verse. A few reasons. Because one, it came back. So Allah, last week we had a similar verse where Allah says, يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةِ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ. O Banu Israel, remember the favors that I have bestowed upon you. وَأَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِي وَأَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِكُمْ. And fulfill my promise to me, and I will fulfill my promise to you. Right? Then here Allah saying again, يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. O the people of Israel. O the children of Israel. اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةِ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ. Remember and mention the favors that I have bestowed upon you. وَأَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. And that I gave you fadl and virtue and preferred you over the alameen, the worlds. The scholars, they mentioned a few things. First of all, what are these favors that Allah is talking about? And Allah is saying, remember these favors and the blessing that I've given you. After these two verses that we're going to recite, for the next few, many ayats, it will only be about mentioning in detail all the favors Allah had given Banu Israel. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so Allah says, O Bani Israel, remember the good things you've been given, the blessings, the favors, the ni'am. وَأَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. And that I preferred you over the alameen. The alameen, we mentioned, it means كُلُّ مَا سِوَى اللَّهِ. عَالَم is كُلُّ مَا سِوَى اللَّهِ. Everything is in Allah. So all of Allah's creation. لذلك, some of the scholars, they said, Bani Israel were given, they have more virtue than any other ummah. Than any other ummah. And other ulama said, it is awalimu zamanihim, or alamu zamanihim, afwan. So, they are better than the people in their time. Right? So, when Allah is saying, and I have preferred you, and given you more virtue, and you are better, it is talking about in the context of their time. They were the best ummah. Why were they so virtuous? Because of the many prophets that came from them, because of the many books that were with them, because of all this, right? These are the fadl. Some other scholars have said, ينبغي أن تبقى على عمومها. It should be kept in its umum, in its generality. Meaning what? We're going to say, Banu Israel are the most virtuous ummah, the most preferred ummah, with one exception. With one exception. And that exception, did we make it out of our own whims and desires? No, because it's mentioned in the Quran. The best ummah, the number one, the best nation, the best ummah is who? The ummah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as mentioned in Surah Al Imran, kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You are the best people, the best nation. So that is the exception. Other than the ummah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best ummah would be Banu Israel. And that is the fadl that is being referred to here. وَأَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ طيب. Now, one might assume because of this fadl, one might assume because of this virtue, Allah is saying, I have given you all these favors and I have preferred you over all the other nations, that they have a direct ticket to Jannah. That they are all of a sudden شَعَبُ اللَّهِ الْمُخْتَارِ, the chosen nation. That they will go straight to Jannah. That somehow they deserve to go to Jannah more than other people. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا لَا تَجْزِي نَفْسٌ عَنْ نَفْسٍ شَيْئًا وَلَا يُؤْخَذُ مِنْهَا عَدْلٌ وَلَا يُقْبَلُ مِنْهَا شَفَاعَةٌ وَلَا يُؤْخَذُ مِنْهَا عَدْلٌ وَلَا هُمْ يُنصَرُونَ. Allah is saying, and fare a day when a person shall not avail another, nor will intercession be accepted, nor will there be any ransom, nor will you find anyone to help you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا, fare a day. This day is referring to the day of judgment. لَا تَجْزِي نَفْسٌ عَنْ نَفْسٍ شَيْئًا, that no person shall avail another. It's everyone is in it for themselves. No one can help you. This is why in many places in the Quran, on the day of judgment, even your own family will run away from you. No one is there except you're there for yourself on the day of judgment. نَفْسِي نَفْسِي. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا يُقْبَلُ مِنْهَا شَفَاعَةً, nor will there be any intercession accepted. It means to intercede, right? To speak on someone's behalf, right? In layman's term, it would be, or an example of that would be, you want a job. You know that if you go there by yourself, you probably won't get that job. But you know someone that knows the person that is hiring, and you say, can you speak on my behalf? Can you do shafa'a for me? Can you intercede on my behalf? On the day of judgment, there is no intercession, Allah says here. But what's interesting is, you and I know that there is an intercession. There's a shafa'atul uzma, right? The great intercession for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know that there's an intercession that the believers will do. This ayah is referring that there is no shafa'a for the kafirin. There's no shafa'ah for those who disbelieve. There's no shafa'ah for those who deny the Prophet. There's no shafa'ah for those among the Yahud that deny the Prophet. وَلَا يُقْبَلَ مِنْهَا شَفَاعَةً. And the shafa'ah that is accepted is for the believers. And the shafa'ah has shuroot. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll speak about it in detail in the future. طيب. وَلَا يُقْبَلَ مِنْهَا شَفَاعَةً. And no shafa'ah will be accepted. وَلَا يُؤْخَذُ مِنْهَا عَدْلٌ. And no ransom will be taken. This is referring to a adl, is a ransom or a compensation. And many ayat mention that the people will try, and they would wish that they could free themselves from hellfire by giving anything, even the whole earth, anything they can, but there's no such thing. On the day of judgment, the only thing that will save you is good deeds and belief, faith, iman, and amal salih. The fact that you're from the chosen nation, if you believe that, or the fact that your ummah was the best ummah, even us, the ummah of Muhammad, yes, we are the best ummah. But if you don't believe, and you don't do righteous actions, none of that will help you. I am from the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad, thus I deserve Jannah? No. You want to go to Jannah, you got to work for it. Iman and amal salih. طيب. So Allah is reminding them, and reminding us, fear a day. Fear the day of judgment. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا لَا تَجِي نَفْسٌ عَنْ نَفْسٍ شَيْئًا وَلَا يُقْبَلْ مِنْهَا شَفَاعَةً وَلَا يُؤْخَذُ مِنْهَا عَدْلٌ. So no one can help you. No one is going to avail you. No one is going to intercede on your behalf if you're not a believer. and there will be no one that will ransom you, nothing that you can ransom yourself with. وَلَا هُمْ يُنصَرُونَ, and there will be no one that can help them. They will not be helped. They will not be helped. If you can't even help yourself on their judgment, you can't help someone else either. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. إخواني في الله, after this verse, in verse 49, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts speaking in detail about the favors that were mentioned earlier. Remember when Allah said, remember the favors that Allah has bestowed upon you. What's interesting is, again, Allah will be talking about the favors and the blessings and the things that were given to the Banu Israel of old. Question that one might ask themselves is, why is this being told to the Banu Israel living at the time of the Prophet Muhammad? Because they got, Allah is referencing the time of Fir'aun and Musa, because they are their forefathers, their ancestors, their ajdad. So, as a nation, as an ummah, as Banu Israel, all of this was done for you. And remember, أوفوا بعهدي أوفي بعهدكم. And also, it is to remind them, these are the mistakes your forefather made. They didn't obey Musa alayhi salam. Don't fall into the same mistake and disobey Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So here Allah is reminding them of the mistakes, the favors they were given, and how they never benefited from those favors, how they never acted righteously, their forefathers, and that they're falling into the same mistake by denying Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah says, وَإِذْ نَجَيْنَاكُمْ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ يَسُومُونَكُمْ سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ وَفِي ذَلِكُمْ بَلَاءٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ وَإِذْ نَجَيْنَاكُمْ وَاذْكُرْ إِذْ نَجَيْنَاكُمْ. And remember, when we delivered you from, or saved you from, آل فرعون, from the people of Fir'aun. Remember, O Banu Israel, when we saved you, Allah says, from the people of Fir'aun. يَسُومُونَكُمْ سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ, they will inflict upon you. يَيُذِيقُونَكُمْ سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ, the worst torment and punishment. And what was that punishment? يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ, they would slaughter your sons and your boys over and over again. يُذَبِّحُونَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say يَذْبَحُونَ. يُذَبِّحُونَ, it means they would do it over and over again. Often, يُذَبِّحُونَ, they would slaughter and slaughter and slaughter your sons. وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ, and they would spear your woman. وَفِي ذَلِكُمْ, and in that, the fact that they were torturing your sons and killing them, the fact that they were sparing the woman, the fact that all of this was happening, this torment, وَفِي ذَلِكُمْ بَلَاءٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ, and therein was a mighty trial for you from your Lord. It was a test from your Lord. طيب, this is the first favor that Allah is reminding them. You might think, wait a minute, what favor? They are being, the fact that they were tormented? No. What is the meaning of the ayah say? وَإِذْ نَجَيْنَاكُمْ, when we saved you. The first favor that they are being reminded of is, Allah saved you from the torment of Fir'aun. Allah saved you from the torment of Fir'aun. وَإِذْ نَجَيْنَاكُمْ, remember when we saved you from the people of Fir'aun, when they were inflicting upon you the worst torment. يَذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ, they would murder and slaughter your sons and your boys. وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ, and they would spear the woman folk. وَفِي ذَلِكُمْ, and therein was بَلَاءٌ, a trial, or بَلَاءٌ, a blessing, مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ, from your Lord. How is it a trial and a blessing at the same time? Bala is used for both something good, a blessing, or bala is used also for something that is a trial and a test. لذلك يقول الله عز وجل ونبلوكم بالشر والخير وبلوناهم بالحسنات والسيئات. When you are given a child, it is bala. You're being tested. When that child passes away, it is a bala. You're also being tested. One time it is a ni'ma, and the other time it is a naqama. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, in it was a trial and a test for you. This great blessing we have given you, the fact that we saved you, were you grateful? Were you grateful? طيب. So this is the first blessing. إخواني في الله, a few points to mention here. The people of Fir'aun are mentioned here. Of course, Fir'aun and his people, they were engaged in the torment and the enslavement and the torture of the Banu Israel. This was happening where? It was happening in Egypt, in Misr. How did the Banu Israel end up in Misr? You have to go back to the story of Yusuf alayhi salam and how he ended up in Egypt. And then when he was in Egypt, later on, his father Yaqub, who is who? Israel. They ended up, after the drought, moving into Egypt. And from then on onwards, the Banu Israel lived in Egypt. Well, and over time, the people from Egypt originally, not the Bani Israel, were known as Al-Qibtiyin or the Copts, right, which is the people of Fir'aun. They ended up taking over, or they ended up enslaving and being in charge of Egypt. And what happened was that one of the Fara'ina, one of the Fir'auns, yes, there is not one Fir'aun, there were many Fir'auns. Because Fir'aun is not a name, it is actually a rank or a title. It would be like there would be a Caesar, the Caesar of Rome, or the Najashi was also a title. And this was a title, like a king or something like that. So Fir'aun, the Pharaoh, there were many Pharaohs and there were many Fir'auns. This is why sometimes the books of Tariq, they mention Fir'aun Musa, the Pharaoh of Moses, or the Fir'aun of Musa, to be specific, right? And some of the scholars, they mention his name and more details about him. That's not important, right? Fir'aun was a tyrant, was one of the worst people that ever lived, that dared to claim Allah by saying, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى, by saying, هَلْ عَلِمْتُمْ إِلَهِ مِنْ غَيْرِي, and all of these heinous statements, the torture that he did on the people that believed later on, and how he enslaved Bani Israel. Fir'aun is someone that you all know. طيب. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so let me continue on the story. So the pharaohs, these different pharaohs were in charge. One of these pharaohs, he has a dream that a fire came from Sham, and it went into every home of the Copts and their palaces and their homes, and destroyed everything in its path and left the homes of the Banu Israel alone. So he called all of their advisors and sorcerers and what have you, and he asked them, what does this dream mean? And they said, this means that your downfall and your kingdom's downfall and destruction will be by the hands of a man from Banu Israel. And then they came up with the idea, well, if that's the case, let's just murder all the sons and their boys, which is what they would do. They would slaughter everyone. And what's interesting is that if they were slaughtering everyone, how did Prophet Harun not get killed? Although he was older than Musa. We know Musa was saved through his story, where he ended up being raised in the palace of Fir'aun himself, right? We know that story and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him. What's amazing is the person they were looking for, the person that would end up being their downfall, they raised them in their own palace. Because Allah is the one that's in control of all of our affairs. Look at this. They've been committing all these heinous crimes and killing all these boys, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them raise the one who will take away their kingdom. Tayyib. What's ajib is, so yeah, the question is, so how did Harun survive? Some scholars have said that the killing of the boys would happen every odd year. So one year they would be killing them, another year they would be leaving them alone. And you have some other muhaqiqeen that said that actually the reason they, at one point they stopped murdering all the boys, because now that they were enslaving them and they were putting them to work, if they kill every single male, young man or baby boy, and the elderly die, then who else would be doing the labor work? Which is why they left them alone, and Allah knows best. But anyway, Allah is telling us that they were slaughtering the boys and leaving and sparing the girls. Sparing the girls wasn't out of kindness. It was the fact that they knew that they who would be on the downfall would be from the men, but it's not like they were showing any kindness to the women folk as well. Daib, the fact that Allah saved the people of Banu Israel from the crimes, the enslavement, and the torture of Fir'aun is the first blessing mentioned. Daib, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions another blessing. وَإِذْ فَرَقْنَا بِكُمُ الْبَحْرَ فَأَنْجَيْنَاكُمْ وَأَغْرَقْنَا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ. And remember, when we divided the sea for you, فَرَقْنَا بِكُمُ الْبَحْرَ إِلَكُمْ الْبَحْرَ, when we divided or separated the sea for you, وَأَغْرَقْنَا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ, and we drowned Fir'aun and his people, وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ, while you were looking. You saw that. Allah is reminding the Banu Israel, they saw Fir'aun being drowned and they were saved. Allah is telling us the second blessing. The second ni'mah they are being reminded of is what? إِذْ فَرَقْنَا بِكُمُ الْبَحَرَ. This qissah is said in more detail in Surah Shu'ara, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions
that
Fir'aun chased them. Inna al-mushraqun. And then towards the west, and or the east, I mean, sorry. And then what happened was they saw each other. So Musa, Harun, and the people of the Bani Israel, they flee, and Fir'aun chases them. And then they see each other. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that in the Quran. They said, قال أصحاب موسى إنا لمدركون. The people of Musa said, they're catching us up. There they are. They will catch us. It's over. So you have the sea here, and they can't go further, and you have the army of Fir'aun approaching. Then, what did Musa say? كلا إن معي ربي سيهدين. No. No. We're not in trouble. We shouldn't be worried. Why? إن معي ربي. Indeed, my Lord is with me. سيهدين. And He will guide me. This is tawakkul. Full trust in Allah Almighty. And this trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it started from the beginning. Before He's even sent to Fir'aun, what does Allah say? إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى. Don't worry, I am with you. I see and I hear. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa and Harun that He was with him. And this ma'iyya, being with him, Allah is always aware of what we are doing, but this was ma'iyyatun khassa. This was the fact that Allah is with them, protecting them. Musa wasn't worried. The army is approaching. There's nowhere to go. A dead end. It is the sea. He was not worried. What did he say when his people said, إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ? He said, كَلَّا إِنَّا مَعِيَ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. And then the ni'mah that is being referred to in this verse, وَإِذْ فَرَقْنَا بِكُمُ الْبَحْرَ. And remember when we split the sea for you, when we divided it in two. And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Allah commanded Musa to hit his staff on the ground, on the ocean, and what? فَانْفَلَقَ. It became two. فَكَانَ كُلُّ كَالضَّوْدِ الْعَظِيمِ. Each one became like a huge mountain. So there was a path now, and they walked through that path, and they were saved. When we separated the sea for you, فَأَنْجَيْنَاكُمْ, and I saved you, Allah said, or we saved you. وَأَغْرَقَنَا, and we drowned آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ, the people of Fir'aun. وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ, أَيُّ الْحَالِ, أَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ, while you were looking. So, while you were looking at them and you saw that the sea destroyed Fir'aun and his people and we saved you from this tyrant, this is another ni'mah that you should be thankful for. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded him of something else. وَإِذْ وَعَدْنَا مُوسَى أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلَةً. And remember, when we appointed for Musa 40 nights, and this is when Musa went to receive the Torah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was initially 30, فَأَتْمَمْنَاهَا بِعَشَرَ, like Allah mentioned in Surah A'raf, 10 were added, right? And some of the scholars, they say, this month and 10 days was Dhul Qa'dah, and the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. طيب. So Musa went. What did they do after he was gone? And this story, we learn more about it towards as we go along in the surah, and a lot more detail is mentioned in the Surah Taha. طيب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, okay, so remember when we appointed Musa the 40 days. ثُمَّ تَخَذْتُمُ الْعِجْلَةِ. And then you took the calf, right? And then you took the cow or the calf. Took it for what? For worship. أَيْ اتَّخَذْتُمُ الْعِجْلَةِ إِلَٰهًا. You took it as a god. But the word إِلَٰهًا is not mentioned here because it's so bad, Allah doesn't want to even mention it. And remember when you took the calf. To do what with it? To worship it. Remember that. O Banu Israel, remember when Musa went away for 40 years? 40 years, 40 days. And then you took the calf. And the story, Ikhwani Fillah, again, in Surah 2, in other chapters, there is more detail, especially in Surah Taha. There was a man called Samiri who collected the jewelry from the Banu Israel. Why did he collect the jewelry? And this was while they were gone. He collected their jewelry, and this jewelry, it's set in gold. It was said that this gold and this jewelry was something that they stole from the palaces of Fir'aun. And others have mentioned that it was not something they stole. لَكِنَّ يُسْتَعَارُوهُ, had they borrowed it, but then because of the ocean splitting and running away. So they felt guilty and they got rid of it. So then a man called Samiri, he took this and he melted it into the shape of a cow, a ijl. And then it started making a sound, jasadun lahu khuwar. Then he said to them, hadha ilahukum wa ilahu Musa fanasi. This is your Lord. And then he encouraged them to worship it. And he said if Musa would come back, he would worship it too. Who is among them when all this is happening? Harun. And Harun, he tried to stop it, but they wouldn't hear or listen. They wouldn't hear or listen. There were some people that stayed away from it, and some people that started engaging in the idol worship. In the idol worship that Samiri started for him. And if you want to learn more about Samiri and his story and why he did it, Surah Taha explains it in a lot more detail. Tayyib. Allah has reminded them, remember when we appointed Musa the 40 days where he was receiving the law, the Torah. Tayyib. And while he was gone, what did you do? You took the calf as something to be worshipped. And you worshipped it. مِن بَعْدِهِ After Musa left. وَأَنْتُمْ ظَالِمُونَ While you were transgressors, and you were oppressors, and you were in the wrong. وَأَنِ فِي اللَّهِ Shirk is ظُلْم. And Allah says so in Surah Al-Luqman, إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ This is the worst thing one can do. So here you have Ben Israel, and they are just saved from Fir'aun. They just saw Allah showing this miracle of splitting the sea. They were saved. Their oppressor, Fir'aun, was destroyed, drowned. Then, instead of thanking Allah Almighty, instead of going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worshipping Him alone, what do? They worship an idol. The way Musa reacts when he comes back is mentioned in Surah Al-A'raf. Ghadban Asifan, when he becomes extremely upset, he starts with his brother Harun, how did you let this happen? And Harun explains himself, لا تأخذ بلحيتي ولا برأسي إني خشيت أن تقول فرقت بين بني إسرائيل ولم ترقب قولي. That Musa, Harun had his own legitimate reasons why he didn't. Musa says, why didn't you follow me if they didn't listen to you? And they started obeying and committing this shirk. And then Harun mentions that he didn't want to split between the Banu Israel, and he wanted to keep them together, although these people were committing shirk. Al-Muhim is a qissa that is very long, and inshallah ta'ala, hopefully one day we can discuss it. But here Allah is reminding them. Again, the purpose here is to count the blessings they were given. Remember when Musa left for the 40 days, and then you, after he was gone, worshipped the idol, while you were oppressors, remember that? And then, ثُمَّ عَفَوْنَا عَنْكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we pardoned you after that. So the blessing is the fact that they were forgiven. Although you committed shirk, after being saved, you were forgiven. ثُمَّ عَفَوْنَا عَنْكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ Why were you saved? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ So that you may be grateful. Allah saying, after that, we forgave you so that you may be grateful. So the first ni'mah that was mentioned was they were saved from Fir'aun. The second ni'mah that was mentioned was that the sea split open for them and Fir'aun was drowned, their oppressor and the tyrant. The third ni'mah, after you commit shirk and you worship an idol, the calf, you were forgiven. طيب. ثُمَّ عَفَوْنَا عَنْكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ And after that, we forgave you so that you may be grateful. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us exactly how they were forgiven. How were the Banu Israel forgiven? Allah then says, وَإِذْ قَالَ أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ Before that there's an ayah, وَإِذْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ وَالْفُرْقَانَ This is another blessing. Because while Musa was gone, what did he receive? He received the Torah. He received the Torah, the Torah. That's another blessing, the fact that they were given a law, that the fact that they were given a book that will guide them through this life, teaches them right from wrong, establishes the truth. This kitab within itself is another ni'mah. And Allah saying, and remember when we gave Musa, وَإِذْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ When we gave him the book. إِجْمَاعَ الْمُفَسِّرِينَ This book is the Torah. The Torah. So remember this favor, this blessing, we gave Musa the Torah. وَالْفُرْقَانَ And we gave him the Furqan. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ So you may be guided. The purpose of these books, ikhwani fillah, the Quran, the Torah, and the Injil is to be guided. And we mentioned that in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, this Quran itself, what does Allah say? ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى It is a guidance لِلْمُتَّقِينَ to those who are pious. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, we reveal the book upon Musa alayhi salam. Lish? Why? So that you may be guided. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ ikhwani fillah, what's interesting is here, two things are mentioned that were given to Musa. Al-Kitab is given to Musa, and Al-Furqan is given to Musa. Are they the same thing or are they two different things is something the scholars discuss and talk about. Al-Kitab wal-Furqan.
And there are بعض الأقوال. One of the أقوال is that it is the same thing. And the